Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. It is Chris Williams in for Steve today, and I have with me Dr. Jackie Mack Harris.
Hello.
And Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey.
Great to see you guys.
Good to see you too. Yes. Love it. Love the word together.
Great to hang out. Hey, I'm going to just go ahead and just jump into the deep end. Because I say it like this, guys, pain is our entrance fee into planet Earth. And really, even through birth itself. Mm-hmm. And pain is something that we're all going to experience in one way or another. And pain unhealed turns itself into or metastasizes into fear, right? And so today I want to talk about what's the impact of that? Why is healing such a big deal? And what happens if we don't?
Yeah. I think it's a big deal because just like with any wound or opening on the body, injury, if we don't heal, there can become a deformity, right? So then it's misshapen and it doesn't look like it's supposed to, but it also doesn't work like it's supposed to. So my nurse brain knows that sometimes we have to do really painful work. I worked in pediatrics, and I worked with a child that had been burned, and we would have to debride the wound regularly, like 4 times a day.
Wow.
It was awful.
Wow.
But had we not done that, he could have gotten an infection, and it could have gotten worse.
Yeah.
And so that's from a physical injury, a burn. Emotionally, we are doing the same thing. And so sometimes I tell my clients, sometimes therapy seems to make things worse before it gets better, because we're going in and we are ripping off Band-Aids and pulling off scabs and cleaning and getting that infection out, re-breaking bones that healed incorrectly, and then realigning them so that they can heal properly. We're doing that, but in terms of your emotional and mental health. And I think the same thing can happen if we don't take care of the painful parts of our story, then it will heal incorrectly, and that may look like an addiction or severe anxiety and panic disorder or depression or sexual acting out. There's just so many things that we'll do because we didn't deal with the pain.
You bring up so much good stuff. I think I often say that I healed broken in the sexual betrayal with Connor because I didn't get the help. I really felt a lot of shame, and I didn't want to do the work. But, you know, you made me think about what happens when we live with triggers. Those triggers keep us in fight or flight, and those keep our bodies in an aroused state, which open up the door for all kind of immune disorders. Irritable bowel syndrome, for
fibromyalgia,
for cancers. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen when we're trying to live with unhealed wounds and trying to manage triggers without really going in and getting rid of them.
Doing the work.
Yeah.
Doing the work.
So often people come in and they say, help me to get over this. And then they explain what they're doing. And it's like, no, you're working through it. That's a natural response to this situation. It's just painful.
Yeah.
Well, and you said something, Jackie, that really captured my imagination. And that is healing misshapen, or it misshapes us. We're not created for addictions. We're not created for anxiety and depression, though we may have it.
Yeah.
And we got to touch the pain to be able to heal the pain and go through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that that is an unpleasant, but we also know that that takes some people who really know what they're doing to guide the process and guide the way. If there's a way that we can help you, let us know. We have a nationwide network of counselors and coaches here at New Life. You just get connected by going online at www.newlife.com or calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.com. And we're going to be right back to take your calls and jump right in.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to Bill in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bill, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. How can we help you?
Okay. Now, I have a question. I'm not sure how to word it, at least part of it, but we're just going to get it right out there. I need to know how to tell my 4.5-year-old son that he can no longer be friends with his absolute best friend and her sister because their mother is too mentally unstable, perhaps would be the word. I would say something else, but yeah.
Well, has there been an incident?
In a way. Long story short, we recently moved out by her dad. Her dad's girlfriend, they've been together for like 18 years or longer. So she has other children, the girlfriend does, and we made friends with her son and his wife.
I am already lost. And so has,
me too.
We could be lost together.
Can I jump in for Bill? Is this a situation where you made friends with someone she thinks you shouldn't be friends with, and so now she's angry, and so she's like, you can't be friends with my kids at all?
Yes and no. From the mother's point, not my wife's, but the other mother's point, basically, she says it's too hard for her to be friends with my wife because not my wife, but her cannot keep her mouth shut about absolutely anything.
Okay.
So you cannot trust her.
Okay, so the question was, how do you tell your 4.5-year-old son? And I would just say you just tell him. There's no comfortable way to say you can't play with your friend anymore. But if this mom is unable to tolerate relationships that she doesn't approve of for whatever reason, then that's not an influence for your son.
Right.
And he'll be he won't be happy about it. It might make him sad.
No.
But it just simply, her mom says that she doesn't want to be friends with us anymore, and that makes us all really sad. And sometimes people don't get along, and the best thing, rather than be angry and fight with one another, they just go their separate ways. And we're sad, and we'll grieve the loss of that relationship. But this will be a learning experience for him, and it won't be the last time that a friendship is ruptured. But it will also not put him in a situation where that friendship is being controlled, because she needs to control the narrative. She needs to. I have a tendency to say I didn't do that in high school, so I'm certainly not going to do it as a grown woman. Nobody gets to tell me who I can be friends with, and so if there's a problem between you and that other person, that's between the two of you. But if you don't like that I'm friends with them, deuces. I'm going to move on because I can't be in a relationship where I'm being isolated because of somebody else's stuff. I have enough of my own stuff to be working through right now.
Love that.
Yeah.
I would add only one little piece to that. Just make sure when you're telling him, and I love the language that Jackie gave you. It was a perfect sentence, you know. Go back and listen to the show if you didn't write it down, because she gave you the words to say. Yeah. And I would add one thing to it. this is not about you.
Yes.
It's not about you and your friends.
Right.
This is about adults.
Yep.
That are not wanting to be friends with each other.
Yep.
So make sure you keep it. You didn't do anything wrong. This isn't about how you've been. This is adults not wanting to be friends with each other. And so sadly, that makes it you unable to see, you know, your friends.
Yeah. I'm going to make a comment that deals with us as adults collectively. This isn't meant for just an attack on an individual. But it's like saying to the kid, hey, you can't be best friends with your best friends because the adults can't play well together.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is exactly. And so I'm here to say and call all adults on blast. Do your own work.
Yeah.
Get better, because when you don't, it negatively affects your children.
Trauma not transformed will be transmitted.
Absolutely.
So whatever is going on in that mom, whatever work mentally or emotionally or spiritually she probably needs to do but isn't, can't be your son's problem. It can't just be put on these kids. Unfortunately, they're going to be affected by it. But I think if she doesn't want the relationship, it's probably better for him to not have that exposure.
Yeah, I get asked a lot, you know, about parenting techniques, you know. And it's usually not in my office because I don't see, you know, children or adolescents, but out and about, you know. It's like, oh, there's a therapist. Let me ask him. And I let them know. I'm not a parenting child, you know, adolescent expert. However, in the thousands of people that I've worked with, I can definitively say this. The best parenting is a parent getting healthy for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Anything after that is just icing on the cake.
Right, because then we're handing down generational wellness instead of generational trauma.
Exactly, yeah.
Good point.
If we can't parent ourselves well, we will never be able to parent our children well. So, yeah.
So what prompted you, Bill, to call a radio show, New Life, and ask this question? I just love your care as a dad, but why us?
Well, I listen to you guys. I'm an over-the-road driver. And I listen to you guys on Sirius XM a lot. And you guys have always done really good, you know, to help with other people. And I just figured I would get your guys' take on it, because at this point, the only thing we've told him is, well, they moved away. And like I was explaining to the other guy that I was talking to, that's really not going to work because they don't live that far away. And I needed to figure some way, you know, to explain it to a child on his level to where he would understand it's not his fault.
Yeah,
that's
good
really
for you. Good for you.
Good job, Dad.
I know. Way to go. High five, Dad.
And a huge shout out to our over-the-road drivers.
Yes.
We know we have a lot of you listening out there. We appreciate you being with us. And in fact, hey, you guys call in. Let us know how we can help you, how we can support you. And I know that this is a few years back, but I think Steve and the crew did a New Life Live at a truck stop. Is that right, Terry? Terry's shaking his head. So, hey, I think that would be cool if we do that again sometime. That's a phenomenal idea. And so again, a Bill shout out to you.
How many years ago was that?
I don't know. Terry's thinking. Dun, 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 dun. 10 years ago? We're due.
Years is a big change.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Bill. We thank you for your service, for your work. And as Sherry said, and I just want to reiterate, we thank you for your engaged and involved parenting, being a loving dad, a loving husband, and may your numbers increase in that. Guys, shout out to us guys. Hey,
yes.
We got to get our stuff together, okay? We got to work out our stuff.
Very true.
Right? All right. So, Bill, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love.
We Love Our Kids.
And How We Love Our Kids.
Let's
do both.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Thank you so
much. I appreciate that.
No problem, man. Thanks for calling in. And we have a few things coming up here. And one of the things that we have coming up that I want to talk about is the Emotional Freedom Workshop. That's coming up January 21st. It's going to be online. And if there's an area in your life where you are stuck, where you're trapped, and you kind of just keep cycling it over and over and over again, And trust me, you're going to make a New Year's resolution about this, right? You're say, hey, I'm, and January 21st, you will have long done violated the blown right through that resolution. And so you might as well right now make the resolution to get the help that you need. And so we're going to be there for you on Emotional Freedom Workshop. And Dr. Jackie, you're going to be sharing with us.
I will. I'll get to talk about grief and trauma.
Talk to us right now. What do we need to know and be prepped for, especially with grief and trauma?
I like to talk about how trauma is formed and the ways in which it impacts our life and our family, and then just a couple of ways that we can mindfully get to know our body and how trauma is moving in our body, mm-hmm. and so that we can start to do our work to heal from it. And then the grief is a part of trauma work, because mm-hmm. there's so many losses that have occurred because of that trauma, whether it's relational losses or financial losses, maybe losing a job or losing some of our things or friendships. And we have to know that grief can be painful, mm-hmm. and it looks different for everyone. The time it takes, I think, really kind of depends on how you move through it, or if you move through it or get stuck. And so I bring those two things together so that we can give ourselves permission to feel the things that are actually happening. So often people are looking for a way to make it better. And what they're saying is the pain is wrong. Something's wrong, mm-hmm. because I'm going through this and I'm doing this work, but it hurts. I must be doing it wrong. No, you're doing it right. It's painful.
Yeah.
And so just validating that it's painful and that it happens to so many of us, and that there is a path to healing, and we get well so that we don't continue to hand down generational trauma, because mm-hmm. some of us are living out stories from generations ago, and with no knowledge that that's the issue, and so we can't put our finger on it, so we just think it's just us and we're bad and we're wrong, and we hide from the problem, from people, and sometimes from the resources that could probably help us.
Yes, absolutely. That's really good. A couple of shows ago, it was December 7th, and we're talking about Pearl Harbor. And one of the things that have come up in my own family lineage is that we're people of war.
Mm-hmm.
And that the men in my family have been participating in wars for a really long time. And I always felt like I was carrying a war inside of mm-hmm. me that no one else could see.
Yeah.
And that I needed to fight something. And usually what I did is I ended up fighting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like shame.
Interesting.
And that
like looks you were
addiction.
At war with yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so by being able to get into that, being able to touch that, and being able to kind of work through that, and I've had some pretty profound experiences about honoring and releasing the pain of those who've gone before me, but also my own pain.
And so often we'll say things like, well, that's just how I am, and that's how we do it in our family. We're just loud and rowdy, and we're warriors. We are warriors mm-hmm. in our family. We are a military family,
mm-hmm.
And we see that in the littles. We see that in my grandson and my granddaughter, and we are doing our work so that they can have a healthier life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not fighters. And we see that change happening. My husband and I grew up in a generation where we fought every day getting home from school. But we had children who don't fight, who didn't have to fight their way home from school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could if they needed to.
Yeah.
We made sure that they could if they needed to.
If things need to get handled, it could get handled.
They could do that. But it's not their go-to. Anger and rage.
It's not the
and
default
violence,
mechanism.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't feel the need to protect themselves physically every time someone threatens them, every time they get triggered, because that's what it was, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This trigger of I'm not safe, and I, instead of flight, I choose fight. And so now I'm learning to pause.
Well, an Emotional Freedom Workshop as well is you're going to be able to understand your own story so much more clearly, and such a better understanding and insight into why you feel the way you feel, the why you do what you do, and ultimately what you need to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And so please do not go into 2023 with all the same stuckness that you may have been carrying around with you. Sign up today for the Emotional Freedom Workshop. You can do that by going online at www.newlife.com. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you need help right now today and you need to get in to see a counselor or a therapist, again, we have a nationwide network, and that is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're here to help you and bring healing and hope in life's hardest places. Let us help you out with that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to go to Mary in Sterling Heights, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM. Mary, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Talk to us. What's
yes,
going
I
on?
Am.
Excellent. What's going on today?
I need the strength to evict my adult son.
Mm.
I let him move in with me a few years ago, and he's over 45 years old, and he's on drugs. He's steals from me, swears at, it's really bad. This man used to really respect me, but the drugs have made him a monster, sort of. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I just don't know what to do. All I can think of is evicting him, and hopefully that will scare him, and he'll go to rehab.
What if it doesn't scare him and he doesn't go to rehab? What happens if it doesn't scare him and he doesn't go to rehab?
That's it. I need to be able to keep him out of my house, mm-hmm. and that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
What if he ends up on the street?
Exactly. I mean, he doesn't work. I support him. I've been supporting him for probably 6-7 years. And
who's supporting his addiction?
Anymore.
Who's supporting his drug addiction?
He's stolen a lot of money from me, taking a lot of my things out of my house. I've actually am an enabler. I've given him money. Seeing him withdraw and him telling me he would go into treatment, but of course he would lie.
It sounds like you need a program.
I do.
Some recovery for yourself. Are you fearful that he would hurt you?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't. No. He won't hurt me.
So what's the guilt you fear? What's the guilt you fear in allowing
him to rob from you?
Do you know you're paying for his drugs? Do you know you're giving him money for drugs?
Yes.
So help me understand the guilt that would be so great in your heart, my dear, that you would pay your son to use.
The guilt.
Yeah.
When you think, well, if I put him out, he'll end up on the street. If I put him out, he'll have no place to go. Who knows what he'll do? What follows that? If I do this, then what will happen?
He's my son, and I love him. And it's like I still want to take care of him, mm-hmm. as if he was a child. That's so crazy.
Yeah, well, it is.
And I know that we go through trials and tribulations, and I'm hoping that one day he'll do something himself, but he's not going to do anything.
But you know what that is? Do you know what that is, Mary? That's fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's fantasy. And this is going to probably hurt, but I just don't know if someone's been honest enough with you, my dear, to tell you that you're hurting your son.
Mm-hmm.
You're hurting him.
I know. Yeah, I know.
You say
know
you love him, but do we hurt people that we love?
Like, you also said you want to take care of him like he's a little boy, so then it makes it more about you than him. You're soothing yourself by continuing to take care of him. The reason I asked the what if question is because what happens inside of you when you think about not taking care of him? You're taking care of him to keep yourself from feeling the pain of grieving this son who is addicted and on the streets. It's extremely painful to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't get better.
Yeah.
He doesn't get better as long as everything he needs to continue to use continues to be provided for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it, we can hear that you love him.
Exactly.
You love him, but you're not willing to experience the pain of putting him out. What you said you need the strength. I think you have to be able to tolerate the pain.
Mary, one of the most baffling things about addiction is it takes over a person. Especially drug addiction. I mean, it just takes over the personality. It takes over their morals, their values. Who they are is no longer who they are. They are the addiction. You are not housing, feeding, and providing for your son. You are housing, feeding, and providing for addiction. And I mention that because it starts here. I will do nothing to piggyback on what Sherry was saying. I will do nothing in my power to contribute to the destruction of my son. And that's what I'm doing. I will do everything possible to contribute to my own well-being as I'm praying for him that he will get the help that he needs. So the strength that you need, I think, is going to come in community. I want you to go to Al-Anon, like today, and get in it. And don't have an opinion about it until you've gone 6 times. Second thing is, we're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. I want you to dig deep into that. And again, this is about you getting the help you need. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the 1-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and I'm a lucky guy. An incredibly, incredibly blessed, fortunate guy, because I have access to remarkable people. And obviously the two of you, but one of those other remarkable people that is a supporter of me and my well-being, and keeps the hand on the rudder of this big old ship moving forward. Captain Larry Sonnenberg.
Captain Sonnenberg.
Oh, Captain, my captain.
All hands on deck.
Yeah, what do you have here today?
I want to just quickly, I just get frustrated. I have so much I want to say, but I want to ask folks to join us in what we do. I love this book by Henry Nouwen about, it's called The Spirituality of Fundraising. And he says that, you know, fundraising is not a response to a crisis. It's first and foremost a form of ministry. And if I didn't believe that, I couldn't come on the radio and do what I do, asking you for your support. But I want folks to know that we've got a vision, and that vision includes an awful lot of things that there's not time to talk about now, including more growth groups, more life recovery groups, more workshops, parenting things. Just we go on and on about all the ways we want to reach out to help people, and that's because God is doing a work through us, and we don't want that to cease. And so we want to invite you to invest in the resources God has given you, your energy, your prayers, your money, in this work that God has called us to do. And year end is a real good time to remind you of that, because so many of you, that's the only time you give, or you might give a little extra, and that's really needed right now. There's a lot of scripture about generosity. We have I think it's being made into a tip sheet on 9 promises that God promises about generosity. It's, you know, if I learn to be generous with money, and then we have 9 different promises that happens with God. And so I want to offer that to you. I'm going to get in trouble because I didn't tell our call center about that yet. But I will right now, or right when I'm done here. And I would just like you to consider your generosity this Christmas time. I don't want to take away from your guys' ability to answer more calls, so I'm going to leave it at that. But thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody who has given and will give. It means difference in people's lives. God comes in and touches, changes things, and it's forever different. And it's because you give. So thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for that. And with that, we want to continue the generosity. We want to go to Kelsey in San Francisco, California, listening on KFIA. Kelsey, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, Kelsey, what's going on today?
Well, I grew up listening to this show, and I never thought I would have to call, but I am in an incredibly toxic marriage. Been married for 6 years now, and we have 4 small children. It's a blended family. I was a single mother for 4 years with our oldest, who's 11, and I've been going to therapy for 3 years, and my therapist informed me that I'm married to a narcissist, and that my mother, who raised me alone after unbiblically divorcing my father, that she probably is a narcissist too. So I married my mother, and because of that, I don't have the emotional, spiritual, or financial support from that side of my family. Mm-hmm. And my husband has been drinking this whole time. He's like a dry drunk. He doesn't drink every day, but when things get bad, he will sometimes end up in the hospital, blacked out.
Wow.
And I'm told by everybody in his family and my family that I just need to figure things out and pray for my husband. And I have filed for legal separation all the way in 2018, but I never followed through with it. And so I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed about destroying my family potentially. And I'm a homemaker.
Yeah.
I'm educated.
Yeah.
And I have degrees.
But the question is, how would I provide for them, and the fear of that?
Especially in California.
Sure, absolutely. And so, Kelsey, if there is a question for us, what would that be?
Why am I not brave enough to go out on my own and separate? Or the other, it's a twofold question. Why am I not brave enough? Or what am I doing wrong that is not, I still feel like part of it is my fault. I get really angry.
Sure, sure. Well, Kelsey, let me jump in there. So when we stay in situations we know that are unhealthy for us, we can get mad at the other person, but eventually we know that we are betraying ourselves. And that's where we get angry. We get angry at ourselves, not just angry at the situation. But I think, again, there's a lot of language that you use there. I would like to just launch this off and let my wise counsel in the room answer. But say, why am I not brave enough, or what is wrong with me? I think those two statements are heading you in the wrong direction. I think it's more like, this is a really scary, confusing, and terrifying situation. What do I need?
Right.
And you made one other thing that I want to throw out a correction on. Me, Kelsey, don't want to be destroying my family. You are not a person who is out of control in their drinking and their behavior is the one doing the destruction. Your job is to get it safe.
And when you said
that, I get very angry.
Well, you get very angry. When you said, I don't want to destroy my family, it took me back to the beginning of your statement when you said your mother, who was probably a narcissist, unbiblically divorced your father. Did she destroy your family?
Yeah.
So you're not wanting to do what she did, but you'd made a judgment on her leaving as it was destructive. It didn't, life didn't turn out the way you would have wanted it to in growing up, because your mom got a divorce. For whatever reason, she got the divorce. She made the choice that was the best choice for her. Now you need to make the choice that's the best choice for you. And it sounds like you're reliving your childhood. And so maybe getting well, like you asked the question, what am I doing wrong? Are you doing work to heal to get better? Or is your therapy more about what your husband is doing or not doing and his narcissism and how your mom raised you and what she does and doesn't do and her narcissism? Because if you're focused on what you are doing or not doing, like the anger you're talking about, then you may be able to get healthy enough to get a job, if that's what you want to do, if you decide you want to leave, so that you can support your family. The destruction of the family is already happening.
Right. I have done anger management, and I find that the rest of my life and every relationship that I am able to establish with Christian mothers and families
sounds very idealistic.
It's definitely not ideal.
I'm saying the ideal, when you said the unbiblically divorced Christian mothers, you're good in other relationships, but something about this relationship. Have you ever read the book How We Love?
No, but I know my mother has.
Okay.
She's probably read every book and gone through Celebrate Recovery programs many times.
But there we are focusing on your mother, and I was asking if you had ever read the book How We Love. You see what I'm saying? This is about you.
I don't want to end up with... I don't want to end up justifying doing the wrong thing.
Well, get healthy as you're making the decision.
Can I jump in?
Mm-hmm.
Too late. You are already justifying doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. You think you would be justifying leaving.
So what I hear in that, Kelsey, and we're gonna spend a little bit more time with you after the break, because I definitely want Sherry to speak into you and your situation. But justifying the wrong situation is allowing abusive, dangerous behavior to continue in your home. What Jackie is getting at is saying you don't want to repeat the past and you don't want to be your mom. Again, I said too late. You can't be your mom. You're not her. Mm-hmm. You're a very different person.
Okay.
So we have to refocus this whole and reframe this whole situation so that you can move towards safety and health. So hang with us. We're going to go to a break here. And so again, I said earlier, when we're dealing with addiction, we're dealing with an addict. We're not dealing with the person behind the addiction. So it takes everything we can to recover from that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're on the phone with Kelsey, who is in a very toxic marriage, very difficult situation. Sherry, what do you have for Kelsey?
Yeah, quick question, Kelsey. How young were you when your parents divorced?
They separated when I was 5, when my father was doing drugs, and they officially divorced when I was 18.
When you were 18, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, honey. So this
I know that the focus sounds like it's on my mother, but because my husband is a narcissist, he always refers, whenever we're trying to talk about our issues, he's always referring to myself as my mother. Like, oh, are you not going to forgive like your mother?
Yeah.
And are you not going to try to figure this out because your mother just gave up?
Well, you know what that is?
Manipulative.
Do you know what that is? It's called gaslighting.
Right. I know what that is. Oh, man. I taught my daughters that so that they can recognize it as well.
Okay. So this is the deal. You not only married your mom, you married your dad. You married the worst parts of them. And we do this. I married an addict, too. When I heard you say, Kelsey, that your husband's like a dry drunk, I wanted to say, actually, no.
He's a drunk drunk.
He's a binge drinker.
Yeah.
He's an addict.
Okay. Yeah.
So that minimization, my dear, came out of growing up with a dad who was an addict. And we do everything we can do to not have to say what's real. Mm. And then, bless your heart, you've got a mom who's a narcissist who's focusing in on who? Herself. And so we grow up with a very shallow core. Like, we don't really know ourselves. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we need. And Jackie was pointing out to you, hey, girl, if I was working with you, I would say we're not going to talk about anything other than you, because I want to help you get to know you. I want to help you find your voice.
I don't want to be a narcissist, though.
Well, but you know what? Narcissists have abandonment issues. You have been abandoned. But if you fill up that abandonment and you fill it up with yourself and you start to make choices and you start to find your voice, guess what? You're not a narcissist. You're a healing person.
And I want to say one last thing about this. I want to encourage you to eliminate the word narcissist.
It's trapping you.
Because it becomes a label to weaponize, as opposed to a tool to explain. And so right now it's being weaponized against you, weaponized against everyone else. It's like, well, he has very unsavory, unsafe behavior. And I named the behavior. But with the label, again, then brings in shame and it keeps us stuck. So, Kelsey, just get rid of the label because, by the way, you have way too much insight and empathy and understanding to – you're not good enough to be a narcissist. You failed the test. And so I don't want you to worry about that. Now, all of us have some of those tendencies inside of us that, again, through healing and through our faith and through God's development in our life, he works out of us. And I want you to continue on that journey. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to connect you with a therapist in your area. And I want you to find a therapist that specializes in addiction and codependency as well. And then you're going to discover what's right with me or what do I need to make the next step, to follow through with a legal separation, to find my voice. You're going to find some of that help in an Al-Anon group. And then lastly, you're going to get back into your own healing. And I would highly encourage you to sign up for our Emotional Freedom Workshop coming up in January 21st. It's going to help you tremendously to get greater insight and courage and strength to make these next right decisions. Kelsey, we're going to send you a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook as well as a Life Recovery Bible. And Kelsey, we're praying for you. We're cheering for you. You're on the right track. Keep going. And you are not a narcissist, so get rid of that fear. And thank you so much for calling in today. We're going to go to one last call today. We're going to go to Cindy listening in San Diego, California on the podcast. Cindy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Cindy, we just have a couple minutes left.
I'm here.
Cindy, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Excellent. We just have a couple minutes left here. Quickly give us what's going on and a question on how we can help you.
I need some professional help on how to reach
backed out to a brother who has schizophrenia.
Oh, wow.
He got in a serious accident when he was young, and he had a long story on how we knew he had schizophrenia, but he would never go get help, and my parents, because of the accident, pretty much coddled him. Then he got to be an adult. We lost my dad 10 years ago, and then we were responsible, and after him threatening my adult children, we had to block him.
Yes.
And now he's alone, and he has no one. He's reaching out, and I don't know what's healthy fear, what's not healthy fear, how I love him. He's my brother. He's my baby brother.
Yes.
And my siblings and I need some professional help on how to do this.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think it would be helpful to connect you with some professional help, because you have some family history and trauma to maybe process through, and the cutoff and reunifying with him needs to be done in a safe way. He's reaching out, so the how to reconnect has already happened. He's reaching out, but you want to keep it safe, and so maybe it's about where you meet and who's with you when you meet with him, and maybe structuring it in a way that it's in a place where he feels safe and maybe isn't apt to act out, but also where you're not alone and you feel safe as well. But it might not be something that can happen overnight. You might need a team to help you and your siblings actually start to work through your fear as well as your grief around what's going on with your brother.
Yeah.
And I think when you meet with him, it's probably going to be really tempting to want to financially support him or, you know, jump into how you might be able to help. But realize that he's been holding his own. Maybe not in the way that you would hold your own, but that he's been having to live with this. And so I don't know why he's reaching out. Is he reaching out for money? Is he reaching out because he cares? And, you know, even though he's got a severe mental illness, you might check out NAMI as well.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
The National Association of Mental Illness. It's a great resource for people and families that have loved ones that have schizophrenia.
Yeah, National Alliance of Mental. Yeah. Yeah. And so, and they also have groups
real
there.
Quick.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I don't live near him or my other siblings.
Okay.
A real quick question. If we prayed and said maybe we should start with letters, and my brother was going to deliver them because one brother does live near him, but our whole stand has always been get on medication, you get your family back, you don't threaten our
yes.
children. We
yes.
don't.
Yeah.
You
yes.
listen it, or do you just
so,
tell him?
So Cindy, for the sake of time, let me jump back in. This severe of a mental illness is heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking because your brother has been lost to the illness. And when the illness acts out and acts up, it doesn't make sense. It's not connected to reality, and it can get very dangerous very quickly. That boundary of being on meds to reconnect or to have relationship, anything else you can do, I'm afraid it's not going to really move the needle all that much. And that's why we suggest, hey, connect with NAMI, NAMI, get in their groups, and also see a professional. Seek out counsel in your area on how to navigate, including how to grieve through this process. And Cindy, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and hopefully that will help you navigate what's happening inside of you. Thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us as we start right back up next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.